CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you, as we always are, every weekday afternoon at this time, as we answer Bible questions for you. You know, a lot of times when we read our Bibles, come across something we don't understand, well, that's why we like to make ourselves available. And so, just want to encourage you again, call us, 888-ASK-CSN, and look forward to answering some questions with you. And I'll give that number again in just a little bit. But first, announce our guest today, Mike Fabares from Compass Bible Church in Aliso Viejo, California. And again, you just were on the air with us with your program, Mike. Hi and welcome.
Well, it's great to be on the lineup here on CSN. We hear from your listeners all the time, our Focal Point listeners, and it's great to be a part of the live program. We love getting on this program and getting to talk one-on-one with listeners and try to answer their Bible questions. The questions are always very interesting, and we just love to bring some clarity to their Bible questions. So it's great to be on the program with you today, Mike.
Amen. That number to call again, 8888-ASK-CSN's the number to call. Mike, Compel Bible Church, this Sunday, what you teaching on?
Well, I am going through the book of 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 5, we're going to deal with just two verses, verses 14 and 15. It talks about the fact that if Christ died for us, that we should no longer live for ourselves. We ought to be living for the one who died for us and rose again. And the reason I chose just to take a short section of this is because that's probably one of the most challenging things to do, is to make sure that we are not selfish and just worried about ourselves. Of course, Jesus said, if we would just get our focus on him and seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, then, you know, he'd take care of all the other stuff. So it's really about seeing our jobs, our families, even our own lives as being in his hands. And if we would see all of that as something of a stewardship that we can just manage for his sake, then he says he'll take care of everything. So we've just got to put Christ first. We live under his lordship. We live for him. And that's going to be the thing that we're going to focus on. We're going to spend time in our church this weekend just teaching about that, making sure we put Christ back in the right place in our hearts and in our lives.
Yeah, and you know, really, Mike, anymore, and back into the church again, because, you know, so many different programs have replaced true Christianity. You know, you have motivational speaking, you have these self-help courses, you know, and it's really unusual that people actually, maybe it's the frog in the hot water thing, warm water, they didn't notice that Jesus was slowly not being talked about much anymore in the church. And it's all about you, and you get what you want, and God, your heavenly Santa Claus, and all this kind of stuff. And so, you know, getting, I think, Jesus back into everything first in priority, whether it be in the teaching, whether it be in the worship, whatever it is, again, Jesus is the author of love, and his kind of love is real love. The world's love is conditional, but God's love is real. And so, again, great. If you're in the Southern Idaho area, I'd like to invite you to church as well. Church starts at 10 o'clock. We're going through the book of Acts, chapter 19, looking at the seven sons of Sceva. Interesting. Wow. There are real believers and there are make-believers. And so we're going to be talking about that. And so we'd like to invite you to come. If you're unable to attend in person, 10:30 Mountain Time is when you can tune in on the radio and hear live broadcast this coming Sunday morning. Look forward to seeing you. And again, 10 o'clock, just follow the signs of Shoshone Falls, the Niagara of the West, and we're right on the corner, right where you turn to go to the waterfalls. So you're invited to come and be part. Now, Mike, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. To the phones we go. Michelle on the line in Idaho. Hi, welcome.
Yes, hello. My question is in regards to what should we do, me and my mom, in regards to my sister. She moved out before a little bit before her 18th birthday. to live with a trans woman. And now she is, we kind of shunned her, basically, because we were new in Christianity and we didn't know how to manage everything, and we kind of gave her like the cold shoulder for doing that, because we understood that's wrong, but we didn't know how to manage it. Now, with her wedding coming around, we're in talking terms now, but she has been asking us if we're going to support her in this marriage. We try not to talk about her relationship anymore and trying to give her love, but at the same time, we don't want to be like too religious or too liberal type of situation.
Well, Mike, what do you think?
Well, we can't support someone in a delusion, and it's a delusion if you have an XX chromosomal pattern and you're trying to pretend you have an XY chromosomal pattern. If you're a woman, you are a female. If you're a male, then you're a man, and that's just the way it is. And we know that according to Romans chapter 1, people are going to attempt to do what is unnatural. And we as Christians cannot, as the last verse says in that passage, give approval to those that are doing these unnatural things. So we can love people, and we understand that. But to say that we're going to engage in their fictional life is something we cannot do. And we can politely step out of things like homosexual marriage ceremonies. And they may call it hateful, but you know, we're not there with signs protesting. We're just not going to be a part of it. And I think that's the wise thing to do as Christians. We're not sending hate mail. We're not firebombing the event. We're just saying, I'm not going to participate in something that's not real. And it's not real when two women marry each other, because it's not a marriage. It's not real when two men marry each other. And it's not real when a man claims to be a woman or a woman claims to be a man. Those are not real things. So I think as Christians, we need to stay rooted and pinned to reality. And unfortunately, too many Christians are trying to go along with the fantasy, which it's what it is. It's someone who is delusional. Even non-Christians used to say that a matter of 20, 25 years ago. They would say you're encased in your own mind in a delusion. But today, people have changed their minds, and now they say, well, we're supposed to affirm them in this delusion.
So, yeah, I don't believe that you can in any way, you know, if somebody was to ask somebody to go to a birthday party and the person was homosexual, I don't see a real problem there. But right. When you go to a marriage, it's one of the sacraments in the Bible. You know, we have communion, we have baptism, we have marriage. And when somebody actually goes against God's law and actually profanes it, I don't think there's any way a Christian can say amen to something that is contrary to God. And just because, as an example, the government says, oh, yeah, you can marry a camel if you want, doesn't mean that it's biblical, doesn't mean that a homosexual marriage is recognized by God or anything like that. The Bible is very strict about this. Again, read Romans chapter 1, gives a great outline on what and how God views this. And this affects my choices that I make in life, whether the friends I keep, the way I vote, the people I hang with, all these things I think are so important, because God actually, when we become born again, and Mike, as you said, what you're teaching on Sunday, God really changes our life, changes us from the inside out. It's not somebody yelling at me going, woo, 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 shaking a finger. But it's where you go, hey, wait a minute. You know, God's law says this is wrong. And I can't say amen to something that the Bible obviously condemns. Now, again, Jesus ate with the publicans and sinners, but he didn't marry the publicans and sinners. He wasn't there at weddings that were against what God's word says. So, again, when I look at this, there's a difference between working with somebody of that bend, if you will. There's a difference between going to a birthday party or a social gathering. But when it comes to sacraments of the church, I I'm very careful about that because I believe that those are the things that really we have to keep Jesus first in. Hope that helps, Michelle.
It does. It does. It's just kind of convicting in our hearts because, again, yeah, we don't want to push her away, but at the same time, she knows that we don't support this. She does. She knows that we don't approve of this, and which is why she kind of tells my mom, "Why don't you support me like my sister?" Because I got married and she helped me so much, but she's kind of like shaming my mom for not supporting her. But at the same time, she understands, she knows that we don't approve because her partner is, her mentality thinks, she thinks that she's a boy, basically.
Yeah, well, that it's what your birth certificate says and what your chromosomes say. Real quick, Claudia or Michelle, is your sister claiming to be a Christian in all this?
So we were Christians, but then she rebelled. We went into the religion super, like it was a 360 transformation for our whole family. We all got baptized at the same time, but for her it was a little bit more struggling, and I think the things that we were working on as a family, it was too fast for her, and so we just didn't know how to do it. And she technically at first she cursed God and she said she doesn't believe in God, but now she does kind of believe, she's starting to. So that's our way in right
well,
now.
Well, I would, you know what, I would direct her to Michelle. You know, the Bible says that the word of God is sharper and more powerful than any two-edged sword. And I would just say, you know, sister, you know, daughter, whoever is talking to her, just say, you know, we love you, but the road you're on is the wrong road and there's always a consequence. Now, you don't see it right now. And say, go read Romans chapter 1. It's very explicit. It's very clear. There's no wiggle room. There's none of this stuff that you can come in. Well, our church denomination has declared that it's okay. Your church denomination is apostate then, because the Bible very clearly says what's acceptable by God and what's not acceptable by God. Read Romans chapter 1. And I would just say, honey, read Romans chapter 1, because God knows more about life than we do. And by following what God's word said, in the long run, you're going to be happy, because God knows the end from the beginning. That's why he knows sin is sin. Now, sin looks fun at first, but the problem is in the future, it's going to put a hurting on you for sure. And I believe this is one of the reasons why the Bible says that the Spirit of God, part of it is prophecy. And that's so that we see into the future the lifestyles that they have, that we have. Wow, gosh, I don't want to do that. That's going to really wreck my life. And I believe this is one of the ways God works from the inside out in our life, is because he allows us to see the end of the matter at the beginning. We go, whoa, I don't think I want to do that. Well, maybe that's what your sister needs, is a little dose of the Holy Spirit in her life to let her see that the road you're on is the wrong road. Now, the Bible says there's fun in sin for a season, but in the end, there's destruction. So you don't want to do that. So I would direct her that way, Michelle, and lovingly, and just say, read this and see, you know, and again, Romans is after Jesus lived his life here on this earth, died for our sins, rose from the dead. The early churches were established. And so this is New Testament theology. It isn't some Old Testament thing that, well, now nothing in the Old Testament applies to my life anymore. There's some people like that. They're called hyper-dispensationalists. And they say, oh, well, what was sin in the Old Testament ain't sin now. Well, then read Romans chapter 1, because that is New Testament, and the Bible says it's wrong. And so I would lovingly approach her that way. Michelle, if you stay in line, I'll send you a little book too called Time to Grow that maybe you can get into her hands, and you know, she might sit down and it might minister to her, because again, it's always hard, especially hard, Mike, especially when they're family members, isn't it?
Yeah, very hard. It's very hard. And I think you need to, I think, as Mike has said, we need to love our family members, but we can't always support everything that they do.
Amen. So, Michelle, stay on the line. We'll get you taken care of, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Let's go to Claudia, San Jose.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm just calling to ask about two questions. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. The first one is, thank you so much for the lesson earlier, Pastor Mike. I absolutely loved it. It's Romans 14 on regards of, you know, being unjudgmental and, you know, not judging others, but at the same time, also not giving, you know, give with your heart and unconditionally given, you know. And I'm just curious about something like that. In my experience, like I have things that I want to be able to glorify God and give away unconditionally. But then later on, I had a thought that maybe I shouldn't have done that. And that then I feel all confused and I'm going, but I wanted to do it unconditionally. And so I started going a mixture of thoughts at that point. And I'm thinking that, you know, you might as not give anything at all if you're going to have any doubts at all. So I did not go properly thinking from the beginning, having the Holy Spirit guide me through it. So I think I have made several mistakes and where I, you know, maybe it is unconditional, but later on you're thinking this is not a positive thing for them and maybe it will not be something that God really wanted me to do. I have had those thoughts before too. So I feel like I might as well not have given anything at all. It was never unconditional. It was also conditional. It was not unconditional at that point.
Mm. Well, so, first of all, dear, you know, there's nothing that we have done that God won't forgive. And again, you know, the motive of the heart is a deep thing because oftentimes we don't even know why we do what we do. I mean, I've had people, I've asked them, I go, why did you do that? I don't know why I did that. You know, I mean, and I believe them. I don't think a lot of times we do. That's why I believe we need to bring every thought captive to the mind of Christ, because otherwise we'll find ourselves acting upon impulses and regretting it later. Mike, your thoughts.
Yeah, and if this is about giving to someone that you think you may be enabling, just remember there's a lot of examples that Paul gives both to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and he gives instructions to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, where he says you don't give money in this situation. If someone is idle and they're not willing to work to earn their own bread in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. He also says the same thing in 1 Timothy or 1 Thessalonians 5.
And so, you know, really,
there's times that you should give and there's times that you shouldn't give. I remember walking on a vacation once in through this park with my family and everyone was asking for a handout, but you looked at people and you knew exactly what they were going to do if I gave them anything. So you've got to use wisdom. And so sometimes in your mind is saying, and your conscience is saying, this would not be wise for me to give. So it would really depend on the circumstance, Claudia. And so maybe your conscience was saying, don't do this. This was not smart or this is not wise. While you know the principle of generosity and giving is good, it's not good in every situation because sometimes it's not wise to give. So we might need more information to ease your conscience. And I would say certainly don't beat yourself up about that. And that's why every Christian should have some good Christian friends around them. And there should be someone you dish all the details to, another woman in Christ that maybe has been around the block a few times more than you in the Christian life. And you can tell her every detail and she can say, you know, yeah, you did the right thing. Or maybe, no, you didn't. But like Mike just said, confess it before the Lord, and God is gracious and just to forgive us. And then you move on and you do better the next time.
So I hope that helps, Claudia. Again, it was customary in the times of Jesus to, when it comes to, as an example, like inheritances, they would give some of the inheritance to their children to see what they're going to do with it. If they go out and waste it like the prodigal son done on riotous living, then you'd be very reluctant to give them any more because I find a lot of times parents can enable their children to carry on a completely contrary lifestyle and actually destroy their children, because they'll have all the money they want to buy drugs. They have all the money they want to buy booze. They have all the money they want for indulgences, all these kinds of things, where they'd been better off to leave their money with somebody else that was going to be responsible with it, other than taking the money and destroying themselves. And so I think, just as you said, Mike, there are times that we gather, as it says in Ecclesiastes, and there's a time that we scatter. And I think that we just have to look at every situation. And Claudia, being we don't have the time that we would need to really give you that advice, we'd have to just go that way. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, that does help. Thank you tremendously. I really do appreciate it very much.
Well, Claudia, stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs if you like. And if you have a DVD player, and we'll get those out to you. If you need more, just let us know. Let's go to Jessica in New Richmond, Ohio. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much. My question is, has CSN ever considered what would happen with the station after the rapture?
Well, it will run for a while on automation, because when it picks up a silent sense, the computer will add something in there, but it won't run real long. I mean, because when we're not here to pay the rent, when we're not here to pay the all the tower rents and everything, I think a lot of times, Mike, I think a lot of people wonder about those kinds of things. What will become of my, even my own personal possessions when the rapture comes? And I heard one minister one time, he said, well, leave it, if you tried ministering to your relatives and they won't hear you, leave it to them, because what little you have might help them at least partially into the tribulation period long enough to keep them alive to hear the gospel. Your thoughts?
Well, I know that Jesus called us a little flock, but I think there's enough of us to cause a lot of trouble, because there is a lot that is going to go undone, and a lot of leases that are going to go unpaid, and a lot of mortgages that are going to be in default, because that's just what's going to happen. I mean, we live month to month, most of us, or at least 2 or 3 months out, and same with our church and our facilities and our utilities, and at least the worst of us, I would hate to say it that way, but there may be one or two left around here, and it won't be the best of those who will be able to pay the bills, because it's probably the phony Christians that are not the best givers and payers around here. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of trouble, but that's what the tribulation is going to be all about, is a lot of trouble.
Mike, don't you think that because of the rapture and the global catastrophe, I believe it will cause, don't you think that is a part possibly of scenario for the Antichrist coming to power as well?
Absolutely. And watch what happened with COVID. It doesn't take much, right, to consolidate power. And I just think if you have the disruption, even just in our imagination of what would happen if a bunch of us were gone, I just think the sheep are going to follow. And if you have someone, according to 1 Thessalonians, that's going to have the power to do some things that are going to be extraordinary, I think the sheep are going to just go headlong after this world leader. And you add a religious layer to it with the false prophet. All this is very, very believable. I just think this is going to happen without any real big stretch of an imagination. It's going to happen.
Yeah, many people wonder if the whole COVID thing, was one of the old people in the old Obama White House said, never let a crisis go to waste. I think that they'll seize the opportunity to manipulate their power in. And remember, the power that comes in is going to be a godless power. I don't think the Antichrist is going to come in the world scene as some wild-eyed, crazy man. I think he's going to come along with some real sensible solutions for a lot of things. And that's why people will wander after him. I believe that he
absolutely
will make a peace treaty with Israel and bring a temporary peace there over the Temple Mount so they can build their third temple. We know it's going to be built because John measured it in Revelation chapter 11. So we know it's there. And we know that Israel had to own the land in order for it to be given to the Gentiles, as it says in Revelation chapter 11. In other words, up till 1967, where it says, don't measure the outer court, it's been given to the Gentiles. The Gentiles own the whole hill. They own it all. So up till 1967, from the time Jesus said that, really, the Temple Mount, what John saw there was impossible. But after 1967, they got the other half, the city of Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. Now it's going to be negotiated away, very possibly, so the Dome of the Rock Mosque can remain there, as well as Israel builds their new temple. And here it is, this Man of Peace, a place where the Jew, the Christian, the Muslim can all worship together. Oh, what a Man of Peace he is. So what's going to happen to CSN after the rapture? Well, you know, I'm not going to be here. So all I can tell you is, all the people that I love dearly that keep CSN going, they're not going to be here either. So I don't know. It's going to be an interesting thing. But Jessica, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. So there's not really a way to have a pre-recorded message ready. That's just not technically feasible.
Well, we have thought about that. If you hear this, don't take the mark. That's really the message. Accept Christ and don't take the mark. That's the message, really, for all those that are left behind during the tribulation period. You know, Jesus said, some will be taken, the others left. And again, those that are left behind, accept Christ as Savior and don't take the mark. They're called tribulation saints. And we're coming up on a break, everyone, and we'll be right back right after this.
I'd be able to discuss my options for abortion.
After a series of health issues, this mom felt termination was the only answer.
Was still borderline thinking abortion until the little part at the bottom of the ultrasound started moving, and we realized there were two. And I knew then.
Preborn's network of clinics are there for moms in crisis, offering free ultrasounds and the gospel in action. At just 11 weeks old, these twins cried out for life.
Just seeing that, I said, I can't. I can't. So, like, ultrasound is what's still the deal.
To learn more, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250. Baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is...
MediShare.
That is right.
Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and the healthcare bills?
Honestly, Brant, seamless. And what a blessing that is when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems. And let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in with your need, that is just...
It is refreshing.
Yes, that's what it is.
But yeah. I keep telling people love MediShare, and they love saving tons of money, too. The typical family can save $500 a month.
I am very thankful for MediShare. It is so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way.
It is good different. Call now. They're easy to talk to, and you can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Welcome you back to part two of To Every Man Answer here on this Friday afternoon with Mike Fabares from Compass Bible Church in Aliso Viejo, California, down by San Clemente. And if you're in the area, I know he'd love to see you this Sunday. Mike, what time's the services?
We have a 9 o'clock and an 11 o'clock service on Sunday morning. We also have a Saturday night service that begins at 5 p.m.
So great opportunity for you to go check that out. I think Mike would love to see you. And be sure to say, hey, I heard you on CSN, and hi. It's always a blessing when any of us get to meet some of our radio audience and radio family. It's always a blessing to do that. We went to the break. We were speaking with Jessica in Ohio about what happens to CSN after the rapture. And, you know, Mike, as a matter of fact, what happens to all the ministries, if you think about it, after the rapture? Because, you know, some are pretty extensive. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I do think there's going to be a lot of chaos. And I think you said it really well. There's going to be a man with a plan who's going to take a lot of the chaos that is caused by our absence. And I do think there's a lot of the Middle East crisis that's probably ramping up at the same time that our absence takes place, and he will come with peace. And that peace will be hailed, and there will be a religious movement that will all take the direction and point it toward this man. And I just think it's going to be a natural way of directing people toward this world leader. So, yeah, I think the Christian ministries, by and large, and I see it this way, as Paul wrote the Thessalonians, there's a delusion that's going to come, a strong delusion, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I think it's verse 11. It's going to come on those who've rejected the gospel and have heard the gospel. And that's my concern about people that have been listening to Christian radio all this time. I know the Left Behind series kind of talks about a lot of people that have heard the gospel repeatedly, and they gather at the church, and, you know, they a lot of them become Christians. I don't hold out a ton of hope that that's going to happen. I think a lot of people are coming to Christ during the tribulational period, but a lot of them are Jewish people. And then I think a lot of people are people that have never heard around the world. I think the gospel is going out, as the book of Revelation says, to every tongue, tribe, and nation all around the world. The angels are proclaiming the gospel, as it says, so to speak. It's being proclaimed everywhere. But here's the thing. Those who've rejected Christ in this age, they are prime targets for the Antichrist deception. And so I think a lot of people that listen to Christian radio or listen to me and you preach, you know, in our churches who've rejected Christ, I think they are going to be sent a strong delusion to believe what is false so that they can be condemned because they didn't believe the truth and they had pleasure in unrighteousness. So, you know, I don't think that's an ironclad thing. It doesn't mean every last person that listened to CSN or went to our churches is lost at the moment of the rapture if they rejected Christ. But I think a lot of them that had many opportunities for Christ and rejected Christ, I think by the time the rapture comes, it may be too late for a lot of them.
Yeah. I think that, again, that's why the Bible says today is the appointed day of salvation. Never put off tomorrow what you can do today for the kingdom of God. So, Jessica, I hope that helps you.
Yeah, thank you. It really drives home to how important it is to be a good witness to our friends and family and coworkers that aren't saved. So hopefully, you know, they can be saved and they'll be raptured up with us.
Amen. Amen. And you know, and the reason why it's important is, you know, we all realize the rapture is going to be a major event, but you have to also remember that tomorrow's not promised to anybody either. And so the people that maybe I could talk to about the Lord today, they may not be alive tomorrow, or I might not be alive to tell them. So I think this is why we understand the urgency of why we do what we do. So I hope that helps, Jessica. Stay online. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs if you like, and get those to you. And with that, we'll go to Emmanuel in New York. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good. How can we help?
Well, I was just wondering, how do you feel about John Bolton being raided, his residence raided by the FBI recently, just yesterday, I believe. Do you view him as an enemy of the state of Israel?
Don't know. We don't know. See, the problem is with, and this is what we're finding on a wholesale level, is people that we thought were okay weren't. I mean, look at all this Russian collusion thing that's going on. Everybody made it up. It was pumped by the FBI and the CIA right before the election. The same FBI that said, oh, Hunter Biden's laptop was a Russian plant, which they knew it was not. They lied to the American public. And so understanding that there's been a major overhaul in all of our law enforcement. Thank the Lord. We're seeing a lot of things now that were obviously wrong for a lot of years, and we don't really know who the players really are. You know, it's the same way it is in Christianity. Not all that say, Lord, Lord, are going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not all those that are going, America, America, are really for America. We see some obvious inconsistencies in many of the people that we all trusted. Then we find out that they really were something other than what they were. And this is these are problems because people's allegiance are not to the people who voted them into office or they were appointed, but their allegiance is, I don't know, who's giving them the most money? When I hear about MS-13 gang members living with judges in New Mexico, what is this, organized crime? What I don't understand this. So yeah, I don't know, Emmanuel. It's a wild card. Your thoughts, Mike?
Yeah, well, this is all about leaks and classified documents, and I think this is the beginning of an investigation, and we need to let it play out. You know, at least Kash Patel, who heads the bureau, he's saying this is all about getting to the bottom of it. So let's see what they find.
Yeah, because we don't really know. And of course, the American news media is not going to tell you the truth. They'll just about anything they say, probably the opposite's true. That's the big problem anymore with our American news agencies, because they're rooted in the global world news agencies. You know, you see all the terrible reporting against Israel concerning the crisis in the Gaza. We've all heard about this. But what the American news media cleverly leaves out, what the world global news leaves out, is Israel's still at war with Hamas. Hamas has not surrendered, everybody. That's right. They have not surrendered. And until they surrender, Israel is still at war. The poor Palestinian people voted Hamas in as their government. Hey, listen, everybody, there's consequences for voting in bad people. Our nation, we were invaded, everyone. We're trying to fix it, but we were invaded. That's by voting in bad government. Well, we're trying to fix that now. That's good. But when people vote Hamas in as their government and their tyrants, and they don't care how many Palestinians are killed because they use it for publicity. And that's what's happening. Remember, Hamas has never surrendered. Now, you mentioned something else, Mike, a second ago about Iran. Iran is rearming right now as we speak. I saw the newsreel footages on it from Israel that they are putting in brand new missiles. Oh, they're not done. You see, they never surrendered either. It was a ceasefire because they were losing so badly. If they didn't call a ceasefire, Israel would have owned Iran. But you see, that's what happens now. You don't win a war. It's just when you start getting whooped really bad, you go, ceasefire, ceasefire. That's not the way wars are generally fought. And when you start a war, be prepared to finish it. And this is the same problem that we see everywhere. And October 7th, Israel was attacked. And they know the weapons came from Iran. And so this is the problem that we have. But again, when we look at the news at large, we look at the faults, we don't know. Again, Hunter Biden's laptop was a Russian plant. It was not. They knew it wasn't. They lied to the American people. Well, now we know. Absolutely. I knew when I heard about it. I go, they're lying. And on it goes, whether it's the rush. So who's responsible? Who's doing this stuff? I think that's why people are being investigated, Emmanuel. Hope that answers your question.
Well, I was just wondering, what do you think is on Hunter Biden's laptop?
Well, it talked all about, it had all in there about all the sweet deals going on in the Ukraine and the big guy getting his share. Yeah, I saw some of it. It's pretty bad. And so I don't know. I think, Emmanuel, I think that that's where people have to look at the facts. And again, that goes along with this Russian hoax, completely made up. And all those that contributed to it to keep somebody from running for president, or once they are president, to diminish their effectiveness. That's criminal. And I do believe there will be people eventually going to prison on this. And it's not going to be good. But, you know, you can't lie to the American people. Someday it's going to get found out, and it's getting found out now. Hope that helps. Mike, any last thoughts?
Well, yeah, if the big guy, which clearly was his dad, then he's giving influence for money, putting his son on boards. I mean, this is egregious. Had that been a Republican, he would have been impeached and jailed. This is incredible that he got away with it. And all of that about the Chinese energy firm and all the rest was it was criminal. And they let it slide. And like you said, it was during the debate. They said all of these intelligence agencies say this is Russian misinformation, which was a joke. And you and I knew it. Everyone knew it, that this was a lie. And now I hope they're going to have to face the music on this. The laptop was filled with incriminating evidence about ultimately about incriminating the president of the United States. He's exchanging influence of the presidency to benefit his son and using his own. I mean, he boasted about it on camera. I mean, we could go on and on about this, but yeah, it was criminal.
Yep. Emmanuel, hope that helps.
Yeah. Well, I was just wondering what your opinion of is John Bolton. Is he an enemy of the state, you know, for
don't know. I don't know. That's why they're investigating it. We'll wait and see. That's all we can do, Emmanuel. And I think as all this continues to unfold, I think it's going to be more and more amazing is that this all bounces along. So all we can do is I can tell you this. I can tell you this. You can trust Jesus. You don't have to worry about whether God's ever going to tell you straight or not, or never mind the man behind the curtain kind of stuff. Jesus will tell you straight up. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, when I look at politics, I look at all this stuff in the world going on, all I can see is a bunch of money manipulating a bunch of liars. And I know that Jesus isn't like that. Jesus is the truth. And I didn't have to pay him, you know, $1 million on the side to get to heaven. All I had to do is believe and receive what he has for us. And so, Emmanuel, I hope that answers it. If you like, stay on the line, and we'll fix you up with a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. I got a little book I'll send you called 101 Last Days Prophecies. It's pretty neat, and I think you might enjoy that. Stay on the line. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Wes, Bend, Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Well, good to talk to you, fellas. I enjoy your ministry, your message, and your programs virtually every day when I get a chance to listen. So thank you so very much. My question is this. Many years ago, I was married to a lady that we were kind of young. We were influenced with some people that were not role models in our lives. And so we lost the 25 years in our marriage, and it dissolved. And I remarried and raised a second family. The wife of the second family passed away several years ago of cancer. And my first wife has developed some cancer, some health issues. And because our kids are closely related to us as well as she and I have reconnected again. And my question is this. Is there anything biblically that would not allow us to become one again?
Mike, your thoughts.
Well, there's a lot of questions I would want to ask about the situation. I would ask questions about your relationship to Christ and when you, if you are a Christian and if she is a Christian, when you claim Christ and all of this. Because if you're even calling the station and calling us today, I'm sure it's because you've heard something about Deuteronomy 24 that talks about taking a wife, divorcing her, she marries another, then it says it's an abomination to the Lord if you take her again, which is all about trying to substantiate the importance of marriage and that you just don't exchange your wives and you know, like you change your you know, sports coat. And of course, marriage is supposed to be a permanent covenant. Now, there's a lot of things that I would say, okay, that may change the situation depending on a lot of things, right? The problem in Deuteronomy 21, I think there's some context to it. So, you know, it depends on when you became a Christian. It depends on how her relationship proceeded. Did she marry again? How did that relationship end? You're a widower because your wife died. You know, you did kind of speak to how the first relationship with this gal ended. It just, you know, you say it ended poorly, which I'm assuming ended because it shouldn't have ended, but it ended anyway. So I want to know when Christ came into the your life, when, if she's a Christian. I mean, there's a lot of questions I would have. And so it's so complicated. It's hard to clear up in 5 minutes, but I'd say you need a pastor and a pen and paper. And I would say, sit down and map it out. Make sure your pastor knows his Bible. He needs to talk about Matthew 19, Deuteronomy 24, and really get down to 1 Corinthians 7 and all the passages that apply in this situation, and make sure you're good to go to get married. And it may be that you are. I don't know.
Wes, I hope that helps. Is your first wife, husband still alive, or did he die?
My first wife's husband is me.
No, I mean currently, the one that where she's at right now.
Okay, no, she has never remarried.
Oh.
And we're both serving God. We've been in church. We've been in ministry for quite some time. And because of some misunderstandings and possibly some trying to follow role models when our original relationship began, it just was not working out as it should. And so she walked away, and eventually I did remarry. And I was married to that lady for 28 years, and she passed away with cancer. And I have a massive family from her because the second lady that I married had been married before. She left me a big family, which is a wonderful thing.
Okay. Wes, let me interrupt just for the sake of time here. I would say, based on that, and there may be more to this, I'd still invite you to sit down with a pastor. But if that's the case, based on Romans chapter 7, talks about, you know, the fact that you're a widower, right? That covenant is done and she has not remarried. And now you're both Christians, right? I would say, yes, you probably can be remarried. And I'd still think there needs to be some premarital discussion with a pastor. And the way you painted the picture, yes, I think that there is a biblical allowance for you to be remarried to her.
Yeah, I'd say so too. So, but like I say, that's why you have a local church, you have a pastor there, and that's always good news. Wes, stay online if you like. I'll send you a little book called Time to Grow. Think you'll enjoy that. With that, we'll go to Bud in Twin Falls, Idaho. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Thank you for your show. I really enjoy it. So my question is, I know your stance and the biblical stance on women being pastors of the church. What I'm wondering is it okay for a woman to be a youth pastor?
Well, I would say that, you know, many small churches don't have the luxury of many people. And sometimes, you know, to have a woman leading a youth group is better than having no youth group at all. So I would not say that would necessarily be a disqualification based upon, as long as she's under the pastoral authority, the senior pastor. Your thoughts, Mike?
Yeah, I would just make sure that we don't grant her that title, that she's not sitting around a pastor's table making decisions as a pastor, elder, overseer of the church. And if you can, ideally, it would be good for those that have hair under their armpits to be looking to a man to teach the Bible to them. And that usually happens around age 12, I would think. So, you know, if I think children is great. And by the time the testosterone starts kicking in, then I think that's when young men need to have men teaching them the Bible and teaching them how to to walk as men in this world as godly young men. So that's ideal. And like you said, I mean, there's a lot of situations when in triage on the mission field or even in small churches, as Mike just said, you got to make do in situations. But, you know, I wouldn't in a church put on a website, hey, I've got, you know, Susan, Pastor Susan so-and-so as the pastor of youth. I wouldn't do that. That's a title. It's an office in the church, which is reserved for men.
But hope that helps.
Okay. Yeah. It sounds like it's kind of a title thing. The reason I'm asking is because a local church here has a youth pastor that has that title that is a woman. So I'm just it kind of bothered me a little bit. And I just kind of wanted to know what your thoughts were.
Well, Mike,
it would bother me too. And I think it's probably the first step in a direction in a church. If that's the title and if you're looking on a website or a bulletin and they call her Pastor Linda or Pastor Brenda. Yeah, that's probably in a direction that is what you call in churches egalitarianism, that says there should be no fences that keep a woman from serving in any role in the church. And like here at Saddleback Church in my area, right, they've said, okay, we're going to have women that are called pastors over adults, and they don't have a senior pastor yet, but I just think that's a matter of time, and maybe, you know, 10 years from now or whatever, but they'll basically say there's no prohibition of any role in the church that a woman can't serve. And it starts usually with youth pastors, but it'll go on from there. So, you know, I just think that's a reserved title and office for men. And I don't want to, here's the thing, as Christians, I don't want to get as close to the line as possible without crossing it, right? It's like saying, if the rule by dad is not to play in the freeway, I'm not going to say, hey, well, can we play on the medium? Or, you know, can I go play in the middle sec?
Can I play on the on-ramp?
I just don't want to do that. I want to stay away from anything that's close.
Yeah, because I think the problem is in the title. Is where I think this is. So if you say, well, she's our youth leader, I don't think there's a problem with that, because the Bible says that the elder women teach the younger women. Now, that isn't necessarily always age, but those that are a seasoned Christian to teach younger believers is what that would be. And certainly, as an example, in a youth group situation, that would be fine. But I think when we talk about that of a pastor or a bishop, you know, that's where I think we start getting muddy in the lines, because then you're not really following what the Bible says. You don't find any women pastors or priests in the Bible anywhere, Old Testament or New. And so because of that, we have to come to that conclusion that this is something that is very foreign to Christianity. Now, immediately somebody will pipe up and say, well, what about Deborah in the Old Testament? Deborah was not a pastor. She was not a priest. She was a governess. And really, because the guy wouldn't do the job, so she became kind of the governor or the head of the country. But she didn't hold that priestly role that I believe that God has. And again, this is God's order of things. And just because, see, there was a time when the Bible changed culture. Now the culture is trying to change the Bible. And that's where we always get into trouble. But I hope that helps.
More than you will ever know. Thank you so much.
God bless you, bud. If you need us, we're here for you. Just let us know. And God bless you. Stay on the line if you like. We'll get you taken care of with a couple of things. If you enjoy those, let's go to Lorena, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi, this is Lorena. And
yes.
My question originally was Matthew 24:24, and it talks about the elect may be able to be deceived. And I was wondering if that means they can definitely be deceived, or is it just a play on words? But above that, it also talks about the tribulation. So I was wondering why it was talking about the elect during the tribulation.
Well, there will be believers during the tribulation period, not the church, but the church is gone and the church is in heaven. But there will be the elect. I believe those are the Jewish people that have come to a realization of who Christ is. And the Bible talks about saints, which are the people that accept Christ. But you'll never find the church, Revelation 6 on, until the church comes back with Jesus. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, that's right. And the word elect and saints are used. But even in the book of Revelation, you won't find the word church after the first few chapters of the book and until the end. So in the crucial chapters regarding the tribulation, chapters 6 through 19, you don't see the word church used. So elect is used to describe these people being saved. They're describing Jewish converts. They're describing even people around the world that are being saved. But they're not called the church. I think the church is a separate program that we're a part of. But, you know, even earlier in verse 22, you talk about, can they be deceived? It says that's shortened so that they won't be deceived. That's what's going on in the passage.
Lorraine, I hope that helps. We're all out of time, everyone. Stay on the line, Lorraine. We'll get you taken care of. And if you're in the Southern Idaho area, love to see you in church on Sunday morning. And if you're in San Clemente, I know that Mike Favarza would love to see you at Compass Bible Church. Until then, have a safe weekend. God bless you. Good night.
Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.